Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book Society of the Spectacle by Guy Debord is a short but highly influential work of social theory and political criticism, first published in 1967. Written from a situationist and Marxist perspective, it examines how modern capitalist society organizes life through images, commodities, media, and passive consumption rather than direct human experience. Debord's central argument is that the spectacle is not just television, advertising, or public relations, but a social relationship in which people encounter the world through representations that separate them from one another and from lived reality. The book is both a diagnosis of modern alienation and a critique of the systems that sustain it. Because it links consumer culture, political power, and mediated perception, it remains widely discussed in media studies, cultural criticism, and radical political thought. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the spectacle as a social relation, not just a collection of images. Debord's most important insight is that the spectacle should not be reduced to visible media or flashy advertising. He treats it as a mode of social organization in which human relations are mediated by representations, commodities, and appearances. This matters because it shifts the critique away from simple complaints about bad media content and toward the structure of modern life itself. In Debord's view, capitalism does not merely circulate images. It organizes experience so that people relate to the world indirectly, as spectators rather than active participants. That framework helps explain why the book remains relevant beyond its original historical moment. Whether the medium is print advertising, television, or digital platforms, the underlying issue is the same social reality is increasingly lived through symbolic forms that claim to stand in for life. Debord's definition gives the book its analytical force and distinguishes it from narrower critiques of mass media. Secondly, alienation and the replacement of lived experience with representation. A recurring argument in the book is that modern society separates people from direct experience. Debord follows Marxist ideas of alienation, but applies them to everyday life under consumer capitalism. Instead of encountering the world through shared activity, labor, and community, individuals encounter packaged images of success, identity, pleasure, and belonging. This creates a gap between what people live and what they are told living should look like. The result is not only dissatisfaction, but a weakened capacity to act, since people begin to accept representation as reality. Debord's critique is especially sharp because it shows that alienation is not limited to work. It extends into leisure, culture, and politics. The spectacle offers substitutes for participation, and those substitutes become normal. In this sense, the book explains why modern life can feel saturated with information yet deprived of genuine connection or agency. Thirdly, commodity fetishism, consumer culture, and the logic of passive consumption. Debord's analysis builds on Marx's idea of commodity fetishism, but he expands it into a broader critique of consumer culture. In the spectacle, commodities are not only purchased for use, they are also signs of status, identity, and fantasy. People are encouraged to desire images of fulfillment rather than concrete social change. Advertising and consumer culture thus become mechanisms that organize attention and desire, making consumption seem like a path to meaning. Debord argues that this process stabilizes capitalist society because it redirects frustration into buying, watching, and comparing rather than questioning power relations. The important point is that consumerism is not presented as a side effect of capitalism, but as one of its central cultural forms. The spectacle trains people to accept passivity by offering endless substitutes for participation. That is why the book is often read as a critique of modern media culture as well as a critique of commodity society. Fourthly, politics absorbed into spectacle and the problem of mediated power. Debord does not treat politics as separate from spectacle. One of the book's stronger claims is that political life under modern capitalism often becomes a managed performance in which representation replaces direct democratic participation. Leaders, institutions, and public events are presented through media and official imagery that shape how people understand reality. Instead of collective self-government, citizens are often positioned as audiences who observe political life from a distance. This helps explain Debord's suspicion of reformism and his emphasis on revolutionary transformation. If politics itself is spectacular, then superficial changes in messaging or leadership do not alter the underlying structure of domination. The book therefore challenges readers to think about power not only as coercion, but as the production of consent through appearances. That insight has proved especially durable in discussions of public relations, news media, campaign politics, and the performance of authority. Lastly, why Debord still matters in the age of digital media and nonstop visibility. Although Debord wrote before the internet, his book is frequently read as a prescient analysis of digital culture. The rise of social media, influencer branding, algorithmic feeds, and constant visual exposure has made his critique seem newly relevant. People now curate identities through images, measure social value through visibility, and consume politics as a stream of mediated moments. This does not mean Debord predicted every technology, but his framework helps clarify how advanced media systems intensify the logic of spectacle. The book remains useful because it asks structural questions rather than technological ones. Who controls representation? How does visibility shape desire? When does communication become performance? By focusing on these issues, Debord offers a lens for understanding contemporary distraction, polarization, and the commodification of attention. Its continued influence comes from this adaptability. Even though its style is dense and aphoristic, readers often turn to it less for easy answers than for a conceptual tool that helps make sense of modern media society. In conclusion, Society of the Spectacle is best suited for readers interested in political philosophy, media criticism, cultural theory, and the intellectual history of radical thought. It is especially valuable for students and scholars who want to understand how capitalism shapes perception, desire, and public life. But it can also reward general readers willing to work through a dense and compressed style. The book offers practical value by sharpening the ability to recognize mediated manipulation, consumer conditioning, and the substitution of images for experience. Its intellectual value lies in connecting Marxist critique, cultural analysis, and media theory into a single framework that remains surprisingly adaptable. What makes it stand out among similar works is its forceful central thesis: modern social life is organized not just by economics or ideology, but by a pervasive spectacle that turns people into spectators of their own world. Few books in critical theory are as concise, influential, and enduring in their diagnosis of modern alienation. If you would like to support Guy Debord, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.